pedestrians. So we're aware that some of these concessions got to be made at times, but saving lives is the number one priority. We understand that. So we want to work, collaborate, and we're going to explore those alternative road designs and to keep everybody, keep our citizens safe. So on behalf of Chief Myers and Port of Fire and Rescue, we solely fully support this Vision Zero plan. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you all. Two others?
Yes, I think Joanne Harrigal from Elders in Action and Doelle Meckleberry of Oregon Walks are here.
Good afternoon, Commissioners. Joanne Harrigal, Elders in Action, Deputy Director. Elders in Action was pleased to participate in the Vision Zero Task Force. We educate, advocate, and serve older adults in the Portland metropolitan area. We serve specifically the lower income and more vulnerable portion of the adults over 60 in the area. We regularly hear stories from our volunteers and from our clients reporting that they've been injured while crossing intersections in wheelchairs, hit by cars while riding their bikes, or injured or nearly injured while simply just crossing at a crosswalk. The Vision Zero Task Force was a diverse and engaged group of passionate people who often had disparate views on the best way to eliminate deaths and serious injuries on our Portland streets. One of my biggest takeaways, as you all have noted, from this process was that the causes of serious traffic injuries and fatalities are varied, and one size does not fit all when it comes to the solutions to these kinds of issues. What is needed is a toolbox of ideas and strategies that allows flexibility but also ensures equitable treatment of all ages, transportation modes, socioeconomic backgrounds, and geographical locations. And I think Vision Zero does a really good job of creating that kind of a toolbox. During the action plan development process, Elders in Action and AARP co-sponsored our own little mini sort of input session. We had about 8 people there, and while it was a small group, they had a lot to say. And mostly they expressed concerns and proposed solutions that were very varied and in many cases conflicted. The comment that best summarizes the discussion in total was, there is so much to watch out for on the streets. So bikes, pedestrians, wheelchairs, people with headphones, our streets are getting more and more chaotic. In general, those attending the input session that we held recommended solutions that tended to slow speeds down on our streets. And I heard today, I think the judge mentioned that the World Health Organization has data that shows that there's a 90% chance of survival when someone is struck by a car traveling at 19 miles per hour. But there's a less than 50% chance of surviving the impact at 28 miles per hour, so or higher. I applaud PBOT, particularly Leah Treat, her staff, and Commissioner Novick for allowing this diverse group of organizations and individuals to provide input on this action plan, and I look forward to the success of the plan through its action items in eliminating serious traffic injuries and fatalities in Portland streets within the next 9 years. So we really have to get out there and start getting work. Thank you.
Hi, Commissioners. My name is Noelle Meckleberry. I'm the Executive Director of Oregon Walks. We are the state's pedestrian advocacy organization, and we're a member of the Vision Zero Task Force. We have also been pushing for Vision Zero since early 2014 when we just got fed up with kind of piecemeal actions after fatalities because we never had a roadmap of what to do. And we didn't want to see any more families struggling after a crash happened to one of their family members. As you've heard today, for people walking, this is a really critical issue as people on foot make up a disproportionate number of the people who are impacted by crashes. In 2015, over 50% of the crashes in Portland were people on foot. The national average is about 14%. So Portland is unique in this sense that people on foot are at risk. And I think if you've spent time walking in East Portland, you can see exactly why. So we were heartened when City Council adopted the goal of Vision Zero in 2015. And this action plan is really a necessary next step to see this become a reality, as we've already seen that uptick this year in number of deaths on our roads. We really have to get to work. However, we're also extraordinarily thankful to the city for taking the time to develop this plan with a wide group of stakeholders to ensure that it meets the unique needs of Portland and the people who live here. Oregon Walks is also a member of the Transportation Justice Alliance. Many members of that group participated in the task force as well, and I'm also delivering support from that group for the adoption of this plan. We continue to urge the City of Portland to push towards a more equitable and just transportation system, and we're supportive of the equity lens that has been applied to the plan and appreciative of the integration of input that many task force members provided to make the plan more effective at treating street safety concerns without adding disparate impact on people of color and low-income communities. The City of Portland is not the first city to adopt Vision Zero, but it's the first to take such a thoughtful approach to equity. There are some particular areas of the plan that I think are really important to note that we support. One is that increased and unchecked enforcement doesn't create safe streets for everyone, but really being strategic about training for officers, using fixed speed cameras, and doing extensive community outreach along with any enforcement actions. The use of the communities of concern lens to prioritize investments is critical. As I mentioned, East Portland sees a lot of traffic fatalities, and this is where there's a high proportion of low-income families, communities of color, and aging populations. These neighborhoods have not seen the type of investment that's needed to ensure that they can get to where they need to go safely. With these investments being planned, community engagement is going to be critical. We can't just assume that we know what every community needs to feel safe, and I think the city plan has been really cognizant of that in incorporating accountability and engagement measures to ensure that communities know what's happening in their neighborhoods and know why. And lastly, the expanded commitment to legislation that increases access to driver education, testing, and licensing. Our current system for allowing Oregon residents to access that has been fairly exclusive, and we really need to think broadly about how people are able to receive education. As Judge Todd really talked about, that is crucial for everyone that's using our roadways. This is an exciting opportunity for the city to work in partnership with advocates to create a more inclusive and just system. And we really look forward to continuing to be engaged on this plan. Vision Zero has to be collaborative. We saw that through the task force, and we really plan to be engaged on this to ensure that we can reach that goal of zero deaths in 9 years. I want to thank you all for your commitment to this issue over the last year and look forward to seeing it go into action. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, we'll go to public testimony. Carla, do you want to call the first three?
They are Terry Parker, Alan Bueller, and Robert Reed, and they'll be followed by Craig Rogers, Dan McFarlane, and Rob Sadowski.
Do we need a third? Maybe somebody left.
Harry Parker, Alan Bueller, Robert Reed, Craig Rogers. Oh, here comes the third person. Sorry.
This is Rob Sadowski, but have a seat. Okay, Terry, I know you were here early today.
Yes, earlier than I had to be.
Yes,
thank you.
You get to go first.
Terry Parker, fourth generation Portlander. A few weeks ago, while I was waiting at a red light on Northeast 122nd, just as the left turn signal turned green, a bicyclist came whizzing by, splitting between the left turn lane and the regular travel lane. Both full of cars, then made a wide left turn onto the cross street directly in front of the car just starting to turn left. In the Hollywood District, bicycles blow through stop signs, round corners at speed, and otherwise demonstrate they have no intention of following any kind of traffic laws. Likewise, I often observe pedestrians simply step off the curb and into the street, even without looking in both directions or being aware of traffic. An evasive response by drivers isn't always possible when pedestrians, and especially bicyclists, do not show any intelligence. Bicyclists seem to think they can do no wrong and refuse to follow the same rules they expect drivers to follow. Pedestrians seem to expect that crosswalks, marked or unmarked, will automatically protect them. These attitudes are being peripherated by the city's car-hater mindset and discriminatory comp plan 9.6, the hierarchy that ranks pedestrians and bicyclists at the top and taxpaying motorists that fund infrastructure at the bottom. In other words, the city must take some responsibility when the behavior of pedestrians and bicyclists do not show any intelligence or create chaos. Vision Zero will fail if the city continues to only focus on profile and always blame the wrongdoing on drivers. Vision Zero will fail if the city thinks road diets that push traffic onto other streets create a different set of safety issues, more congestion, and more emissions will solve the problems. What percentage of the total traffic in Portland is carried on the 8% of multi-lane streets? That question hasn't been answered to my satisfaction. Vision Zero will continue to fail without specific and proportional motorist representation on all PBOT committees and community-wide participation in developing a bicycle user fee or tax. Excluding motorist-specific seats at the table and creating special interest stack deck committees violates the city's own equity policy that includes the statement, the community is a full and equal decision-making partner in all aspects of the city of Portland. It also violates the broad intent of the Privileges and Immunities Clause in the Oregon Constitution. Also, with numerous crashes related to alcohol, maybe better management of consumption is needed, including a background check and a license required to buy alcohol and drink. In brief, what is needed are bicyclists following the same traffic laws drivers are expected to comply with, pedestrians making themselves aware of traffic conditions before stepping into the cross streets, education enforcement that equally applies to all modes and communities, and an end to the bureaucratic car-hater mindset that must include driver equity with proportional motor-specific representation on all PBOT committees. Thank you.
Thank you. Sir? Wow. My name's Robert Reed. I've lived in Portland about 40 years. I've commuted my bicycle downtown from North Portland, about 25 of that. Incidentally, I would have been killed probably 15 years ago if I was the kind of cyclist that this gentleman on my left described, and most other cyclists would as well. But what I'm here to say today is that, first of all, of course, I support Vision Zero, but I think you should take this as an opportunity to address a change in the driving culture of Portland. If you've lived here long enough, you remember days when it was actually considered normal for people to be courteous on the roads. I was told when I moved here that Portlanders don't use their car horn because it was considered impolite, and that was true. Nowadays, it's a question of which caliber you load. Not a question of whether you use your horn anymore. We have a entirely different culture on the roads, probably because they're twice as busy as they were when I first moved here, and people have come from places where aggressive and fast driving was the norm, and it was accepted. That excludes, of course, cyclists and pedestrians from having any rights, and I'm certainly not suggesting we need new laws. The ones on the book are plenty sufficient. But what we need to do is to slow people down. If you slow drivers down, the incidents, the amount of crashes goes down and the severity of crashes goes down. I want to thank you very much for lowering the speed limits in my neighborhood where I live in North Portland. But without law enforcement up there, people are going to continue to drive just as they have the last few years. I went to the scene of a fatal accident two blocks from my house this summer and noticed that there were 12 police officers there for about 4 or 5 hours. Most of them were just holding down the perimeter of the scene. The other ones were collecting evidence. Detectives came. The forensic people came. I know they have report writing. Fatal accidents go to the grand jury, where they've got more sitting outside the grand jury and waiting. If it goes to trial in a criminal case, there are dozens more hours of overtime for officers sitting on the bench waiting to be called. I am requesting that you take some of those police, those many thousands of police hours that we're using to deal with problems once people have been killed, and put some traffic enforcement on the street so that we can prevent these accidents in the first place. Unfortunately, the people that just are going to drive fast and not care about anyone else's rights seem to not learn unless there's law enforcement involved, and I would sure love to see some of that in our neighborhood. Otherwise, you're going to continue to see people painting their own darn crosswalks on the street, and I'm all for that. If that's what it takes, if the city won't do it, citizens are going to have to start doing it. Thank you very much for your consideration of these issues. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Rob Sadowski. I represent the Bicycle Transportation Alliance, soon to be the Street Trust, starting January 1st. This is really exciting. I want to first thank Steve Novick. Commissioner Novick never once said no. He always said, how will this work? He asked questions, and I think all of you are really great about not starting with no, but starting with yes, and trying to help us figure this out. This is a bold plan. This is not just some words on a piece of paper. These are action steps that the city is going to take across different bureaus. Unfortunately, we can't do this all alone, and so some thoughts for the future. We need our county involved. Multnomah County and other counties should step up to support Vision Zero policies and any opportunities that you have to share with your fellow leaders in Multnomah County, Washington County, and Clackamas County, who was the first county to support Vision Zero in our region, by the way. Secondly, our state lags far behind where we are. Where our Portland Bureau of Transportation says, yes, how do we make this happen? We still hear no from the Oregon Department of Transportation. And so what do we need to do in order to reach Vision Zero in Portland is take back some streets. So I encourage you to look creatively at how we can bring Barber, Powell, 82nd Street, Columbia into the portfolio of our city so that we can truly make a difference. ODOT spends very little money on state safety programs. In fact, they hardly use any to none of their highway safety program for pedestrian and bicycle safety, even though we far outnumber the number of crashes in percentages. Lastly, I'd like to just thank you for making this data-driven. We know we're not going to do things unless it's proven to work, and that's really, really exciting. So thank you all for your leadership. I'm excited to hear you vote and look forward to partnering with you, whether it's on community safety events that we can help out, educating our youth and educating our adults on how to ride safely. We're really excited, so thank you very much.
What's your new name again?
The Street Trust.
The Street Trust.
So we're expanding our mission to include walking in transit, particularly the idea of you shouldn't be designing roads for one user. When you design roads for one user, you're not designing for anyone.
Thank you. We've
had conversations.
Thank you. Thank you all. Next three.
First is Alan Bueller. And we'll take Craig Rogers, Dan McFarling, Elaine Friesen-Strain. What about Betsy? Oh, here.
I'm the third. Doesn't matter.
And then next I have Betsy Reese, Arlene Kimura, and Doug Klotz.
Okay, welcome. Just give us your name, and you each have
Craig
minutes.
Rogers. And this is very, very important subject to me. And I'll start off by saying that last year on February 22nd, something came to my attention that really rocked my boat. And down in Springfield, here's the headline. Police, three kids crossing Main Street in crosswalk, hit, killed by car. During daylight hours, again in a crosswalk, with their mother, and a gentleman, distracted driver, didn't even know it until he hit him and killed him. I was totally shook up reading this thing. And that's why I'm here, because I want to do something about that. And they were ages 4 to 8. So that was the feeling in my heart. I want to do something about it. And I got a lot of skin in the game, been attending a lot of meetings, paying a lot of attention. And then when Fallon Smart was killed on Hawthorne, totally preventable accident. And then in the last week, there was a gentleman that was in a crosswalk with the lights flashing. And a car hit and killed him out in East Portland. So now we're between Thanksgiving and Christmas. Having lived here now for 65 years, I know this is a really dangerous time. So we're going to have to really pay attention. And yet, reading automobile magazines like I do, did you know that for years they've been talking about a 24-volt system for cars? And that's because there's so many devices in it that it stresses out the 12-volt. So to have more devices in your car, you got to have a 24-volt. You know, think about that. I mean, we got to really pay attention about these things and get them ahead of time before they become acceptable. So when I was a teenager in the 60s, and I'm watching, maybe it was Mothers Against Drunk Driving on the TV, and they would say one drink an hour, whether it's wine, a beer, or hard liquor. That's what your body can metabolize and still be underneath the legal limit. But now the legal limit has dropped down for a good reason. But here in Portland, you go into a tavern, it's easy to order up, not a 12-ounce, but a pint of beer could be 8% alcohol. It's not 3.2 like it was back in the 60s. So I have said for years, and this makes my friends laugh, I live in Portland where everything's okay and nobody's responsible. And you wonder, well, is that true? But look at the trajectory of this livability survey that just came out in Portland. It's all going down, down. Because I live in Portland where everything's okay and nobody's responsible. And I think it's about time that we start being responsible. And it's a matter of life
Craig,
and death.
Craig, your time's up. Thanks. Sir, would you like to go?
Yes, thank you. My name is Dan McFarling. I got my start in Portland at Emmanuel Hospital in 1947. Before my first birthday, my great-grandfather was killed by a motorist on the streets of Portland. Like one of the previous testifiers, I am a fourth-generation Portland resident of Portland. I don't know how that's relevant, but I think other than that, our viewpoints differ dramatically. I chuckled this morning when I read a post from TriMet. The headline read, "How TriMet is staying ahead of the curve with its next-gen fare collection system." TriMet should be commended for the new fare collection system, but we are not ahead of the curve. We have already had more fatalities before November ended than we did in the previous year. I appreciate the excellent work that has been accomplished by Vision Zero, but there is a key component that is missing. The needed reduction in traffic fatalities will not be realized without an increased emphasis on frequent, reliable public transportation. Since the 1980s, our transit system has been poorly planned. Ridership has declined on a per capita basis. Recently, ridership actually declined while our population, the actual numbers of riders declined while our population has grown. We are not ahead of the curve. Ridership numbers tell us that our public transit system is failing. If you want vision, look to Seattle. Three decades ago, Seattle was a nightmare. Today, they are deeply engaged in developing a coordinated system of light rail, commuter rail, buses, and streetcars. They are providing a faster alternative to single-occupant vehicles. Effective public transportation must be a key component of Vision Zero. Thank you.
Thank you. Delaine?
Commissioners, thank you for this opportunity to testify. My name is Elaine Friesen-Strang. I'm a Portland resident. I'm the volunteer state president for ARP Oregon. I'm a member of the Portland's Age-Friendly Transportation Committee, and I serve on the Elders in Action Senior Advisory Council. According to the 2016 community survey recently released by our city auditor, pedestrians of Portland are feeling less safe on our streets than they were in 2012. This concern is felt more strongly in older adults, which is not an unfounded fear. According to the Oregon Walk's 2015 State of Pedestrian Safety Report, adults aged 65 and older are four times more likely to be killed while walking in the streets than people younger. Yet, as we get older and we limit our driving or we choose to hang up our keys, we rely more on transit and walking to buy our groceries, to get to needed services, and to be active in our communities. Last year, I asked my fellow senior advisory council members to sign the Vision Zero Pledge. And as Joanne earlier said, AARP and Elders in Action sponsored a Vision Zero workshop. We can agree to take personal responsibility, but we also need the help of our city to take necessary steps to assure the safety of all its residents. I applaud Commissioner Novick, Director Treat, the PBOT staff for their leadership in developing this action plan. It addresses equity issues, the need for better data, education, and enforcement. It takes the vision of zero traffic fatalities and shows how we can make it a reality with public engagement and accountability at its core. I urge the council to adopt this plan. I also encourage the other necessary partners, including the Portland Police and the Oregon State Speed Control Board, to join in this effort. Getting where you need to go or following your doctor's advice to get out and get more exercise shouldn't result in your death. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, next three.
Are Betsy Reese, Arlene Kimura, and Doug Klotz. And they'll be followed by Soren Impe, Art Llewellyn, and Corey Poole.
Welcome. If you just give us your name, you each have 3 minutes, and we'll start with you, ma'am.
Thank you. My name is Betsy Reese, and I've been a traffic safety advocate here in Portland for more than 20 years. For some reason, I never imagined that a member of my own family might be killed in a traffic crash. This is my mom, Millie Wagner. She was in a crash a year ago, Mother's Day, and I, my three brothers and sister, watched her suffer for 3 days as she looked at us with her pleading eyes and held our hand. When we save lives, we never know what family we've spared this kind of grief. This happened in another state, in another major city. My sister and I photographed, measured, talked to people, researched, and found that there had been many, many serious crashes at this same location due to what appeared to be easily fixable changes in the roadway and speed. We contacted over 20 individuals in state and local traffic capacities, road conditions. Not one single person would speak to us. Not one single person would reply. In the 20 years I've been advocating in Portland, I've been involved directly in many specific requests to both PBOT and ODOT, from small tweaks to very large projects. And I can say that a lot of those things have been addressed, right up to and including, and Amanda just mentioned Broadway Street, a major project that was just completed the end of this summer at North Broadway, Flint, and Wheeler, which had previously been every single year out of 22,000 intersections in the city of Portland in the top three for ambulance transport injury collisions with bicyclists and pedestrians. PBOT and ODOT coordinated together on a big project and made some significant changes there. A lot of people had a hand in that, including some in this room, including Commissioner Novick and Director Treat. My testimony today is to say thank you for what has been done here in this city, and let's keep it up and do more. Thank you.
Thank you. Arlene?
Thank you. My name is Arlene Kimura, and I'm here on behalf of the Portland Pedestrian Advisory Committee and myself. The Pedestrian Committee does support Vision Zero and strongly supports the work that PBOT is doing to move this forward. We are also like to note the following. Education is an essential factor in getting two people together, the pedestrians, the bikes, as well as the motorist. We also would like to have some note that in our part of town, in my part of town, most people are not native English speakers. At this point in time, the outreach needs to happen in other languages, and we urge that PBOT strongly consider that, along with ODOT and TriMet and everyone else who's involved in the transit system. We also support a data-driven methodology, which we are really pleased to support in this effort. The other thing is we must have enforcement. I understand I am involved in a project where the Portland Police give driver education to non-English speakers. The information is that they has helped tremendously. There needs to be more of it. If you're not in high school, there is nothing for you. So between the ages of 18 and whatever, you're on your own, and you have to pay for driver education. And because you have low income, you're not going to do that, and you're going to continue to drive unsafely. And I urge this council to support that effort. Thank you very much.
Hi, my name is Doug Klotz. I've been advocating for pedestrian safety for 29 years in Portland. I appreciate all the work that went into this document and all the work of the task force. Certainly many of the actions described in the plan, if carried out, will make a difference in traffic safety, so I'm not opposed to adoption of this plan. I am, however, disappointed that the plan does not seem to represent a major shift in priorities, nor does it commit the city to the sort of bold steps that the concept of Vision Zero originally included. I strongly feel that you need to add clear, binding language to the plan that states the city's plan to pursue speed reductions consistent with Vision Zero in order for it to be effective. I hope Rob is right that it's not just words, but I'm worried. I looked at the Wikipedia entry. One of the first things you see in there on Vision Zero is a table of speeds. What are recommended speeds for various conditions? So for the condition, locations with possible conflicts between pedestrians and cars. Well, that kind of describes the crash corridors, actually almost all of our streets. For these situations or location or conflicts are possible, the chart shows the recommended travel speed is 20 miles per hour. And that is something to think about, is that that is really what the Vision Zero goals and policies are saying, you know, across the world, that it's not just, you know, and that's not what I see in the plan, unfortunately. It's nothing specific about that. You know, the plan mentions safe speeds but doesn't say what those would be. I think the city should really say we intend to lower driving speed to 20 miles an hour on as many streets as possible and reconstruct streets starting with a high crash network so that road design causes users to drive at slower speeds. Maybe we won't get to 20, but that needs to be the direction we're heading. Right now we have a high crash network that is, you know, 4- and 5-lane streets with unprotected bicycle lanes, sidewalks that are not very well protected either, and 35 to 40 mile an hour speed limits. And I'm sure that travel speeds are faster than that. There is a proposal in the plan, number SD1, to build improvements on 2 segments and 5 intersections. But there's a lack of specificity as to what these improvements will be, and no mentions of what the aim speeds are aimed for to be. So I fear that some of these goals may not be met because factors than other factors besides safety will be given equal or greater weight. Maybe I'm wrong. I hope I'm wrong. The upcoming Foster Road diet appears to show the city is serious about this, and you know, we'll see if that if happens on Foster Road, but we have many other streets to deal with. And I think, yes, you should adopt this plan, but I really urge you to go to get more specific and take an even more forward-looking look at where we could be. Thank you.
Thank you.
I particularly appreciate in your letter, Doug, that you've pointed out the state code about parking within 20 feet of any intersection. And so I think that that's something that we could certainly should pursue, right. That, yes, it might cut down on parking, and perhaps we would then consider parking somewhere else.
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay, next three.
Are Soren Impe, Art Llewellyn, and Corey Poole. And the last two who signed up will be Jim Howell and Everett Yaros.
Okay, it looks like we have room for maybe one more. Sir, come on up. Welcome. Just give us your name, and you have 3 minutes, and we'll start with you.
Yes, my name is Soren Impe, and I've lived in Portland for 17 years, and I've used a bike as my major transportation mode for essentially most of my life. And I also participate in bike advocacy with several groups, BikeLab PDX and Livable Streets Action, but I wanted to note that I'm testifying here, as myself. So I support the Vision Zero draft plan. However, I do not believe this plan is anywhere near bold enough. And I'm going to go into some details. But before I did that, I came here last month to testify. And I was locked out. And I was in the midst of a number of people in the streets. And I watched law enforcement mace, beat, and brutalize people using our streets peacefully. So I applaud the focus on equity in the context of Vision Zero, but I believe this city also needs to address long-term issues with equity and civil rights in law enforcement. So I call on the city to fix the binding arbitration clause so that law enforcement officers who are fired stay fired, and to move these to a civil service board. To block officers from reviewing body camera footage before writing reports.
Would you please keep on topic?
Yes, and to immediately end, I believe this is on topic, because Vision Zero does focus on safe use of our streets by citizens. To immediately end police brutality at peaceful protests, to immediately end deployment of gang enforcement officers at peaceful protests, and to make all bargaining sessions with the Portland Police Association public. Thank you. So, getting back to Vision Zero, the draft plan. Funding of Vision Zero infrastructure is essential for reforms and its eventual success. And I see very little detail when it comes to funding in the Vision Zero plan. In fact, virtually no detail. Moreover, the plan lists possible actions. You know, there's a two-year phase. But how these will be funded, how they will be implemented, is not detailed. And it reminds me of the Portland Bike Plan, which is a similar great plan. You know, I love the language in both plans, and I like the aspirational aspects of those plans, but there really isn't sufficient funding, and we've seen that since the bike plan has been funded, there's been very little change in bike mode share. So I really believe there needs to be a focus on finding dedicated funding. And then finally, I'd like to address what I see as a real issue in the Vision Zero plan when it comes to vulnerable road users. In the plan, it talks about persons' clothing not visible as a causal factor in fatal collisions. And another graphic highlights a person illegally in a roadway. And this echoes Portland Bureau of Transportation safety plans that suggest pedestrians should wear high-vis clothing and wear lighting. And it just, to me, comes across as victim-blaming.
Okay, Mr. Ampey, your time is up. Thank you.
Okay.
Sir, go ahead.
I'm Art Llewellyn, and may I just mention this, the civil rights as a point to agree with the person who just led me. Civil rights in some way I saw it, so I'd agree. I have been coming before City Hall for so many years now and submitting design material for transit systems. I'm like Dan McFarland. I believe it's a chicken and the egg question of whether we can manage the traffic without a functional transit. And he's right. And so the 3 minutes, shorter if possible, might not make my point that I can only add to, and Jim Howell's following, so you're going to have we'll meet to consider. So I've submitted a couple of things for you. I can just mention them in brief. I would like to formally request a review. We've got a debate about how mass transit really should grow, and I'm making some points that I'm not getting addressed. So formally, may I? And transportation planning on my side is holistic. All modes must function or else none function. So, transit users are first of all walkers. I myself own now 5 bicycles, standards, and 4 folding bikes, which are great interacting with pedestrian environments. So this small folding bike is the slowest one. It's easiest to step off onto. It helps my in the way I present material. It's all in there, and. So we're on top of the transportation system mode. We have to consider how development is part of that. That's also important, I think, as part of my philosophy. I'm sort of aligned with Metro and then regional planning. The documents they have there, I'm sure Jim has submitted them. If they haven't, well, it's a type. I've taken his drawing on that regional light rail and said, here's another way to do that. So we're debating that. It's an important debate, and there's a lot to learn. Vision Zero people, I congratulate them for getting this far, and I know they're going to learn a lot, and we're going to, which is inevitable. So with that, that formal request, I look at kind of a convenient response in mail, email, or something.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Sir.
Thank you, Commissioners. My name is Corey Poole. I'm here today speaking on behalf of the thousands of Portlanders that use skateboards to get around our city. I'm also speaking as a father of an 8-year-old who loves to walk, bike, and skate around our neighborhood. I'm here in support of Vision Zero today. I would like to thank the members of the task force for their hard work in creating the draft proposal. We're all devastated over the tragic loss of life in the past year on our roadways. The principles laid out in the draft plan have been proven to work, and I think will work. We have the opportunity to make real progress towards a transportation network that's safe for all Portlanders. We need this to be more than a report on a shelf. In order to see the benefits of this plan, it will take an ongoing dedication, ensuring that we put safety first. We need to be willing to put human lives ahead of parking spaces. We need to be able to put the safety of our school children ahead of a slightly faster commute time. This plan has great potential to save lives, but only if we have the vision to fully embrace the actions outlined. What I really like about this plan is that it's truly a plan for everyone, all modes. These actions will benefit people who walk, bike, skate, scoot, use transit, and I look forward to offering my time and efforts to make this plan work for all Portlanders. And since I have a little bit of extra time, I would just like to also suggest that I would love to see a way that ordinary people can report dangerous drivers. I think most people who ride a bike or walk in the city have had those instances where a car has nearly killed them. And, you know, I have called the police, not in Portland recently, but, you know, in other cities, and just been met with total lack of regard. They don't treat it seriously. Fortunately, I haven't had to try it here lately. but, you know, I would love to see some kind of way that I can whip out a smartphone, pull over, write down the license plate number so that when the officer eventually does pull over this person for a DUI or does pull this person over for some other infraction, they can see that, oh, 15 people have reported this person as a violent person on the neighborhood greenways or endangering people's lives. Maybe it would work. I don't know. But, again, I look forward to your support for Vision Zero, and thank you very much for the time.
Okay. Thank you all. Mr. Howell, you get the last word here, I guess.
And Mr. Everett Jarros.
Oh, okay. Welcome.
My name is Jim Howell. I'm here to support Vision Zero. And as been pointed out before, there's one big flaw in it, and that's not what it has in it, but what it doesn't have in it, and that is how to reduce traffic in the city. The city's growing, traffic is growing, and we get more and more frustrated drivers or unsafe drivers, and that has a lot to do with the accidents and crashes we have. So the agency that provides the alternative is TriMet, which is not under your control. But there are things the city council can do and the mayor can do specifically. I remember back 40 years ago when TriMet was wavering and having some problems, and the mayor of Portland went to the governor and asked the governor to shake up TriMet. And he did, and TriMet then at that point in time went into a renaissance of really improving their service. They need that type of shakeup today. Their focus has been so much on big capital projects and not adding bus service, and we are sorely in need of far better and more service. So that's what you folks can do, is put the pressure on the governor to put the pressure on TriMet. Thank you.
Thank you.
Sir? My name is Everett Jarros. The first I was aware of Vision Zero was some signs or posters that I saw along North Killingsworth maybe last spring, which I thought was a strange, well, when I figured out that it had something to do with something about safety on the streets, I thought it was a rather strange name. Maybe it, you know, I understand it came from Sweden, and they have a lot of good ideas, and maybe it, Vision Zero lost something in the translation. I don't know. Anyway, there's been comments in support of data-driven being a good measure. Well, I would say, yes, it is a good measure for seeing how badly you failed, or for that matter, succeeded. But I would suggest that even more importantly, or at least as important, would be starting off with common sense and consciousness. And I would suggest that caring and intention in street design would be very important matters. Again, on North Killingsworth, and the in front of the North Portland Library, there's a bike rack there that has a puddle about an inch, maybe slightly more than an inch deep, between the bike between the two bike racks. Of course, it doesn't. It's not there very much in the summer, but this time of year, it's quite noticeable, and it extends not just between the two bike racks, but also. It's about 20 feet long, so it extends into the bike shelter, into the bus shelter there, too. Now, of course, a puddle is really not very important. I'm sure we can all agree on that, unless, of course, you happen to have to walk in it several times a week. Now, when the entire stretch of North Killingsworth from shortly east of the North Portland Library all the way over to MLK was redoning the sidewalk and the streets this summer. And the sidewalk in front of, in front of, in other words, had three bike racks installed there after the construction work was done. And I'm glad to report that only one of those bike racks actually has a puddle there. But there is a puddle. The water does puddle more to the interior of that sidewalk. I'm sure street sidewalks could be designed so that the water would generally run down onto the curb. It's all new curbs there as well as new sidewalks, but that's not done. Now, that's what I speak of when I speak of a design intention and caring. So, you know.
Okay, thank you.
I'm sorry, I had a list of. Like the pothole that my bike broke in and I almost lost my life in a year ago. There's more potholes around town now than there were a year ago. Various death traps where utility boxes are in the middle of sidewalks right by intersections. A lot of dangerous design around Portland.
Thank you. Okay. Are there questions for staff, or should we act on the amendments?
Well, just before we do that, I'd like to propose a third one, and that would be to add an emergency clause to this report, to the ordinance, because if ever there's an emergency, we know that there are more fatalities every day. We want to get this onto our legislative agenda before the end of the year. And so would that be okay with you, Commissioner?
I believe so.
Okay, well, let's act on the amendments first, and then we'll act on the emergency clause. So we had some amendments were moved and seconded. Carl,
are we voting please? On them as a package?
Yes, there's two of them.
On the emergency?
Commissioner, if you would vote on each additional or each amendment separately.
And we need language for the emergency clause.
And that was because of the urgent need for public health and safety.
Thank you. Novick?
Aye.
Fritz?
Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye. Okay, then on the second amendment, the direction to PBOT. I guess that is all one amendment, isn't it?
No, there were two.
So there's in the ordinance findings, that's one, and then the direction to PBOT is
okay,
the second.
Okay, so call the roll on the second one, the direction to PBOT.
Novick?
Aye.
Fritz?
Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye. Amendments are adopted, and now on the adding the emergency clause.
Novick?
Aye.
Fritz?
Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye. And now on accepting the report.
Novick?
I just wanted to say what a privilege it has been to work with all of you on traffic safety issues for the past few years, and I'm grateful for everyone's hard work and commitment and emotional energy. And I'm grateful for everything that I've learned
I'm grateful for what we've been able to accomplish. I'm grateful that we've committed ourselves to accomplishing much more. So I just wanted to say thank you all very, very much. Aye.
Well, thank you, Commissioner Novick, for your leadership of the Bureau and all the improvements that have been made in transportation over the last 4 years, and particularly for this. When it comes back every year, I hope we'll consider this a living document that the committee, I'm glad the committee is going to continue to meet, and that each year you'll come back with a checklist of completed and then the next task as well with priorities. You'll be happy to know that when I told Mayor-elect Wheeler about the tax on marijuana, how much it might raise, he said, please tell me that some of it might go to Vision Zero. And so he already is aware of that. I am certainly also aware of that, and we'll early in the new year figure out the budget process for you all to come back and advocate for budget allocations from that. And when, in that regard, I want to particularly thank Portland Firefighters Association, Local 43, and AFSCME Local 189, because in the spring they paid for the poll that gave me the reasons to do the tax and to specify which things should be in it. It was done based on polling.
Commissioner, may I interrupt? I forgot to mention this. They also each contributed $10,000 to the gas tax campaign, which will fund many vitally needed safety projects.
You know, our city workers are very much committed to public safety, and that putting their own money into making sure this passed. I do need to mention also that the Police Association offered to give money to actually fund the campaign, but due to the appearance, perhaps that it could have been a conflict of interest, I chose instead to fund it myself. So I'm really happy with that. Several things. We heard testimony about driver behavior and that it's changed, and it certainly has changed over the 30 years that I've been here. And sometimes it's changed in better ways. And it's very, just like the bus lines are all quite, they have the flavor of the different kinds of folks who are on the 44 versus the 12 at various times of the day. I think there's also marked changes in behavior in neighborhoods. And I was particularly struck a year or two ago when I was driving down Martin Luther King Boulevard for the first time in quite some time, how slowly people went and how lots of people were stopping for pedestrians at the crosswalks, even though they weren't particularly marked. And that just shows that each of us can take responsibility for this. Each of us can slow down when somebody could be crossing it and being aware of those things. A couple of things I wanted to just continue to mention about helmets for Bike Town. That's something that I'm sure if we continue thinking about it, something will be solved with that regard. And another action item that just occurred to me just recently, I love the flashing beacon crosswalks. They're really striking, and you can't possibly miss them. The challenge I find is that there's some similarly marked crosswalks, but they don't have the flashing beacons. And so as people get more used to seeing the flashing beacons, it could be that those crosswalks become even more dangerous. So we should think about, even though it's expensive, going back to do the flashing beacons. I definitely support the red light cameras and also the speed cameras. I also have not been in the judge's court, but I did get on the speed camera one time, and I have amended my ways. I could go into why it was not really my fault, but I won't. Because, you know, it really is all of our fault. We do have to be looking out for it. Is this a highway on-ramp, or is it actually a neighborhood street? I wanted to address a few of the issues that Bike Loud Portland sent in a very informative letter, and I'm happy to say that I agreed with everything on the front page. But then they started talking about supporting the focus on interactions or infractions that are most likely to result in serious injury and death. And they said that because infractions by people walking or cycling rarely result in injury or death, the draft Vision Zero plan should contain language that de-emphasizes infractions by vulnerable traffic that do not pose risk to others. The thing is, if I'm a pedestrian and I'm jaywalking, not crossing in the middle of where I should be crossing, not waiting for the light, I'm just as culpable as the person who might hit me. Before I got onto the council, I was yelled at by a police officer on a motorcycle for jaywalking downtown. And he actually stopped and we had a nice conversation. And I said, well, why? You know, there's nothing coming. And he said, well, there's children who might be watching you, or there might be blind people who would sense that you were moving. It might be safe for you, but it's not safe for them. Having had that explanation, I almost never jaywalk anymore. I say almost because, anyway, I won't go into that one either. But again, it's just embracing the fact that we're all responsible. Again, Bike Loud PDX said that people walking or biking should not be blamed because they were wearing supposedly inappropriate or dark clothing. No, actually, if you're wearing, it's my responsibility as a pedestrian to wear something bright and or to carry a flashlight in my pocket so that I don't have to remember it. It's there and I can turn it on when I get off the bus. And so it's all of us. There's nobody who's immune to this. It's a matter of life and death, literally. I know that this particular hearing is going to continue to be kind of like the Holocaust survivors, Holocaust victims reading, in that it's immensely painful to be thinking about traffic crashes and deaths, and yet it's absolutely essential that we continue to do so. So thank you for your work.
Well, first, I want to thank Commissioner Novick for the leadership that he's brought to PBOT these last 3.5-4 years. And I was just making a list of the things that he has led that have been, I think, very noteworthy. The commitment he made to advance street paving and figuring out a way to pay for that, hiring Leah Treat, Vision Zero, Bike Share, the gas tax, and those are just a handful of the things that Steve has done as the leader of this bureau. The next mayor is going to reassign this bureau, and he's been keeping all of his cards very close to his vest. The commitment that I will make, Steve, is that as a member of this council, I will continue to support the good work that you and Leah launched on Vision Zero, and I congratulate you for having prioritized this important work during your tenure. I want to thank Leah and the team for the presentation, all the members of the public who took time to be with us today and to testify. And I'll just say that the thing that I really like about this document is that it's holistic, and it looks comprehensively at how to tackle this problem. And I appreciate that it isn't any one of these things, it's all of them. It's getting people to slow down and maybe changing the speed. It's being more focused and strategic about how we do enforcement. It's education and outreach. It's the capital improvements to make it safer for everyone, pedestrians, bikes, skateboarders, cars, people in public transportation. So I really appreciate that, and it's a good read. And yes, it is words on paper, and it's incumbent on this council to find the resources to fund it. We did get a budget preview a couple of months ago, and you know, we do have a structural budget problem, and it could get worse if there's a recession. But that cannot be an excuse not to continue to make progress towards this. And what I like about this is it allows Director Treat each year to come to council and say, this is what I need to move the ball a little further. And the community has clearly embraced this Vision Zero. And I just appreciate the good work and the thoughtfulness, and I pledge to be a strong supporter of this as you implement it. Thank you, Steve. Aye.
Saltzman?
Well, thank you, Commissioner Novick, for your leadership on this Vision Zero effort. And I want to thank Leah Treat as well, and there she is, and the steering committee and the staff who've done a lot of good work on this. But I think it's really... you know, I lean towards the hard-nosed enforcement side of things because I'm convinced that's the only thing that gets people's attention. I would remember if I'd been in Judge Todd's court, for instance.
We're down to one suspect. We're down to one. By process of elimination, we have now, this is an Agatha Christie novel, we're now down to one.
I would
and I'm not going to mention his name out of respect.
I vividly recall any interaction I've had with the police over moving violations over the years or any time I've received a ticket. And I think we've become all too complacent to, as Director Treat saw on her ride-along, you know, we are routinely desensitized to the fact that people can have their license suspended 34 times, and it's, oh, well, I mean, that's the way it is. You know, we support people's right to drive. People got to, you know, they got to get to work. They got to do all this X, Y, and Z, and we've become entirely too complacent about it. And we can't afford to do that, particularly, you know, I think one of the cold, hard facts we don't like to admit, but everybody is always complaining about traffic in Portland. People are driving more. Gas is cheap. You know, people who find themselves living further on the outskirts of the city have to get to work to jobs in the city. So there's a lot more people on the roads, and we have to make sure that we recognize all the competing interests. I like the Bicycle Transportation Alliance's new name and new theme, all users of the roads.